Parole, 1974. I will be interviewing Messrs. Hyle Rockwell Sr. and Hyle Rockwell Jr. of Saginaw, Michigan. The topics to be discussed are early mercantilism in downtown Saginaw and the impact of urban renewal on the Saginaw area. This is Richard Novak. Today's date is June 12, 1974, and the time is 10:30. I will be interviewing Mr. Hyle Rockwell, Sr. of Saginaw, Michigan, and we're going to talk about early mercantilism in downtown Saginaw and the impact of urban renewal on the area. Mr. Rockwell has been an active business participant in the area for over 40 years. 48 years. And I'd like to start off, Mr. Rockwell, by asking you what the early business climate was like in this area.
Well, it was very active in the downtown area in the early days. I came to work when I first started in 1926, in August 16, 1926, after we were married and had our honeymoon, I came in to work for my father-in-law, who was Julius R. Lieberman. And we started at 7 o'clock in the morning in my early days, and worked Saturday nights until 9. That was the only night opening. Other nights we were open till 6. And the downtown area was very busy, and that was why we were interested in buying and owning downtown real estate, because at that time it was one of their best investments.
I see. Was there any particularly colorful individuals involved in merchandising, similar to Jake Seligman?
Well, there were fine men like the Morleys and Max Everett Sr., who were, I don't know what you'd call them, colorful in the sense that Jake Seligman was, but they were fine merchants, and the Weekmans, of course, were involved. My father-in-law knew all those people very well, and associated with them, both in a business way and socially. And it was a very active situation. That's the main thing in my recollection of it. I don't recall any particular things that would be dramatic.
How was a pattern? How could you characterize a pattern, if you've noticed one, of buying? Public buying practices over the years?
Well, I don't know just how you want that answered, but of course we have been through the depression of the 30s, and we had one day when we took in $9 in this store, so you can imagine we've been through some of the ups and some of the downs.
Right.
And we had days when we'd have a handbag sale and we'd sell our 100 or 150 handbags at one crack, so that was interesting too at that time.
I understand that that in your involvement with the credit bureau, you've been a believer in providing people with ready credit.
Oh yes, our credit bureau here in Saginaw is one of the outstanding credit bureaus in the country, and we've had more participation from merchants per capita than most cities in the country, and especially in the state. Of course, now the credit bureau is involved in a new program which will be worked with computers, and they're almost ready to go on that. I've been president off and on for a while. I was president off and on with Jim Shackleton, would be president one year, and then I'd be president the next year, and then I'd go back, and it alternated back and forth. But I can't tell you how long I've been president now. I kind of forget, but it's been quite a while. Bill Rourke could probably tell you.
Mm-hmm. Would you think, say, in the early days, 20s and so on, that people found it necessary, as today and in the past 20 years, is to have the ready credit available for buying?
Well, no, there was not the involvement of people as much in the 20s. They did not ask for credit unless they were able to pay their bills and they didn't go overboard. The average young person, for example, didn't own a house or wasn't in the process of buying one when they were early marriage, and they might not own a car, and all those things and furniture and things like that that people feel they must have right away now and mm-hmm. go into debt for. So that's a little bit of a different trend, but it's been coming for the last several years where people don't hesitate to go in debt and to get all these things that they think they need.
I understand that your general attitude in the past towards the downtown area has been one of enthusiasm. I wonder how in the earlier days the Saginaw area is up to, say, the Bay City or Midland area in the terms of dynamics.
Well, Saginaw is much more active than Bay City, and of course Midland has always been a good feeder town for Saginaw. And we've had some very fine customers all through the years, and still do have from Midland.
I also understand that in the past you've expressed the sentiments that you hoped the Liebermans would always be downtown.
We still feel that way. In fact, we're moving now to a downtown location. We're going to be over where the Consumers Power had their downtown office on the corner of South Warren and Federal. And we hope to get that done sometime in July.
I see.
Although my son is the one that's going to be doing it, I'm not going to be doing it because it's a little bit hard for me to pull out after having been here 48 years to pull out of one area, even for move three blocks. It's hard because I watched this thing grow. When I first came, we had a two-story building. It was about 100 feet deep and about 20 feet wide. And in the years, in 1926, when I came, we were remodeling the front, and it wasn't quite what they had in mind. So my father-in-law didn't feel it worked quite as well as it should, so we remodeled it again, that is, in a very small way, in 28. And then in 29, our shop used to be on the third floor of this building, and you used to have to use a hoist to hoist the trunks up to the second floor, and then you had to carry them up a stairway to the third floor of this building, which we didn't occupy the lower floors of at that time. So in 29, we put on the third story on this building and the electric elevator. And then we hit the Depression and we went through that. But fortunately, my father-in-law had extra funds he could draw on. And although we were caught in two banks, we were caught in a bank here and then we were caught in one in Lansing. Mm-hmm. But eventually that worked out fairly well, and we were able to get back on course again after the Depression area.
Well, Lieberman's is certainly a landmark store downtown. It's been here for many years.
Since 1893.
1893. And I wondered if witnessing the mass migration, if you will, of your fellow merchants from the area has disheartened you at all with any...
Well, it's a disappointment, and we... I guess I'm too old-fashioned to go along with this night proposition. I don't like the store hours that they operate in shopping centers. They usually don't do any business until afternoon or evening. And most of them open at 10, and they're open till 9 practically every night. Some of them open Sundays, and I just feel life is too short to work that type of hours. And in a small business like ours, we don't feel that we can have two crews, which you should have to work that way. And it seems to me that management takes it on the chin when you have that kind of an operation. So, and I realize that's a growing trend, and maybe it'll go the other way someday. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly a point that do you agree with the idea that modern merchandising is going more from the ownership contact with the actual buying public to more of a corporate structure where they have several shifts of employees.
That's right. And in my opinion, it's not a good trend. But in spite of that, I'm against what people are doing generally. I still don't think it's a good trend.
I see. You've expressed your ideas in the past about the idea of a Delta metropolis in the form of the Delta area growing into one large business and residential area. Do you think that your predictions are being seen with the development of Bay Road?
Well, it seems to be working out that way, that there is a terrific growth out that way, but I don't know if it's all healthy. I would have preferred to see a downtown area grow and these little satellite communities that develop with this type of merchandising is a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm. Turning to the downtown development, as it has been slow, undeniably, in the past years, but it seems to be picking up lately with the downtown mall and the Civic Center and a proposed moving sidewalk and Congress Street Bridge. Two of these structures are already completed. What do you think of them?
I'm not particularly impressed with the downtown mall, whether it's a matter of the location of it or what, I don't know, but I haven't been impressed with it. I think probably the store that does business over there is Morley's, and I don't think much of the rest of it is too satisfactory, and that's borne out by the fact that so many of these people have gone out of business, and there was another one out last week, this restaurant over there, the Traeger restaurant, is through, which cost me some money because they owed me money from the old home dairy location.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of that. And what do you think of the proposed projects of the moving sidewalk?
I don't know. I have never seen it. I understand that it's been utilized in one or two places, but I haven't seen it, so I don't feel qualified to pass judgment on it. I think there are other things that are more important, and that is to get your concentrated area and get your good merchants in one area, and I think that you won't have problems with getting people to come to you whether you have a moving sidewalk or not.
I see. You've proliferated the business, taking over from Mr. Lieberman and your son from you, it appears. Are any of your grandsons interested in continuing the business?
Well, they're a little bit young, and we don't know yet. We may. Our son's son, apparently, he's the older one of the, or the eldest one of the four boys that we have, but he hasn't shown any great interest so far. I don't know about. We have two boys from another family that might be interested, at least one of them might, I don't know.
Do you think that your relocating is going to reestablish any more growth into your business in the downtown area?
No, in fact, this will be a contraction because we're going, here we have 12,000 from 16,000 to 18,000 square feet. Over there we'll have 8 to start with. And of course we own this property, so we could expand it and develop it as we saw fit and not pay the kind of rent that we'd have to pay for the same amount of space if somebody else owned it. Of course, we always have paid ourselves the rent, but not in proportion to the size of the store.
I see. Do you see, with the downtown urbanization, any tangible hope for rejuvenating the downtown area?
Yes, if I didn't, we wouldn't be hanging on. We wouldn't close it out. And I'd like to see my son have a going business, but where we're going, it'll probably, in a way, be better for him because he'll have less responsibility than he would have if he had this whole thing all by himself. I've been through it during the days after we finished the remodeling here, 46 and 47, and I was the sole buyer and advertising manager, and some of the selling and all that sort of thing I did myself. And before he got back from service, he came back from service, I think it was 55. And it was really too much for one man.
What are the similarities to...
Well, you want to contrast it with the war days?
Yeah, that would be...
The war days might be interesting to you because we traveled. I have a cousin who ran our Lansing store. We started the Lansing store in 1931. And my father-in-law and I owned 76% of it. And Mr. Betcher, who was Mr. Lieberman's nephew, owned the other 24. And then we hit the Depression. Of course, that was pretty rough. But father fortunately had some money he could put up to help Lansing carry on and go through. And then we came into the war days. And during that time, Mr. Betcher and I traveled as much as 15 weeks a year looking for merchandise. And we would have a successful day if we found two or three people that would ship us a few hundred dollars. We would go to as far north as Boston and down New York, of course, and then into Newark and Philadelphia. And then we'd go in the western part over to Chicago and up as far as Milwaukee and Oshkosh, traveling wherever we thought there was luggage to be had. Primarily luggage, and of course handbags, billfolds, and so on, where they were able to continue to make, not always the quality that you'd like, but they were able to make something that wouldn't be saleable. But now you've got a situation where you've got most of the merchandise is nationally advertised and nationally known, so that you don't have quite the same need to hunt for it as you did before. You have traveling men calling on you, and by and large you can get by without making all these expensive trips we used to make.
And that would be in contrast
to the war days.
To the war days. How about the earlier days before that, even? Maybe you'd have some recollections of when
Mr.
Lieberman
was. We didn't buy as much because we didn't begin to have the inventories in those days that we have had later.
I see.
Although we had traveling men in those days, and they used to come around and maybe two or three times a year and fill in your needs. And then, of course, you mentioned the National Luggage Association. My father-in-law was one of the ones that started it back in 1926. In fact, the date of our wedding was set by the date of one of the first conventions in New York City in 1926. And since that time, I've been very active in it up until recently. And I was connected with the designing of some of the merchandise and the buying of it and the selling it to the rest of the membership. And we've always been very close to the association until recently in the way it was handled. I was, as I said before, was president twice. And was all the time my father-in-law was president, I did most of the bookwork and the correspondence for him, so that I've been very close to it.
I'd like to go on a little tangent, if I may. I noticed that for 14 years you were a member of the Board of Education.
That's right.
And I wonder if, in relation to the millage we just voted on the other day, and you being a board member yourself for 14 years, if you see any noticeable change in attitudes.
Well, we never... I was on from 39 until... for 14 years there. I think it was 39. Pretty sure it was 39 to about 40. about 53. Mm-hmm. And I was treasurer all those years, so I knew the problems that we had in making things come out. And of course, at that time, for a long time, we had the 15 mil limitation, so that we had some real tough times to make things meet. But we did not have the militant attitude that the teachers have and some of the other employees, so it wasn't quite so rough as it has been later. I'm very sympathetic with any board member because they work without pay. In fact, we even had to buy our own lunch when I was on the board, and you wonder sometimes why you did it. But there was had a feeling of responsibility. You had a feeling that you were doing something for the community. And in general, I think in those days, people looked up to you, the teachers and the community in general. Whereas now, the board members are whipping posts for everybody connected with them.
It seems that there's a lot of unhappy people in this situation, but aside from that, do you see that the defeat of this millage is being anything?
Well, it's making it more and more difficult for the local boards to carry on without assistance from state and federal, and that's been a trend, of course, that's been going on for a long time. They look more and more to state and federal government subsidies to help carry the load. So it takes control away from the local ports.
Well, I'd like to thank you a lot, Mr. Rockwell, for the time that you've afforded me.
Welcome.